the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we offer this prayer. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Y'all welcome Mark and Donnie again.
Hello. Hello. It's a pleasure to be here as always. We enjoy truly coming here. Like I said, we were going to be here a while back, and things just didn't work out with the weather and everything else, so we're definitely blessed to be here today. Wes called and said, will we come? And of course, anytime he calls, we'll be here. You know that. But I never know what I'm going to sing when I get here. I got to be honest with you. It just,
me neither.
Whatever the Lord puts in my heart. And the last couple of days since I talked to Wes, this one song has just been going through my mind. So I want to do this today, you know, with everything going on in this world, with the COVID and just everything else. It's just, you know, we worry about this, and I worry about my daughter and my family and my mother-in-law. But this song kind of puts it all in perspective. And it's called I Won't Have to Worry Anymore. Down here, my burden's heavy, and the road is rough and long. Sometimes my feet get weary and so sore, but a bright day is coming. Soon I'll step on heaven's shore, and I won't have to worry anymore. No, I won't have to worry when I reach the other shore. All my troubles will be over, and I'll rest forevermore. My eyes will be on Jesus, and my heart will be aglow, and I won't have to worry anymore. Someday when life is over and we've said our last goodbyes, oh, I'll see my Savior standing at the door. Then I'll hear Him say, you're welcome, all your cares are left behind, and you won't have to worry anymore. No, I won't have to worry when I reach the other shore. All my troubles will be over, and I'll rest forevermore. My eyes will be on Jesus, and my heart will be aglow, and I won't have to worry anymore. No, I won't have to worry. I won't worry anymore. I thought, number one, would surely be me. I thought I could be what I wanted to be. I thought I could build on life's sinking sand. But I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I thought I could do a lot on my own. I thought I could make it all alone. I thought of myself as a mighty big man, but I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountain's too high and the valley's too wide. Down on my knees will I learn to stand, 'cause I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I think that I'll make Jesus my all. From now on, when I'm in trouble, on him I'm gonna call. If I didn't trust him, I'd be less than a man. 'Cause I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountain's too high and the valley's too wide. Down on my knees will I've learned to stand, 'cause I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Down on my knees will I learn to stand, 'cause I can't even walk without you holding my hand. All right, Donnie O, get one over there for us.
Let's get the G chord.
All righty.
I know everybody's got a Bible, and we need to start reading them more. I'm the first one to admit I need to read more of the Bible, and I'm going to sing a song now about the Bible, and y'all listen to the words, because the word is true, and it's powerful, stronger than any two-edged sword. Have you ever seen a two-edged sword, anybody? I have, and they're sharp, 'cause I got cut with one. I didn't used to be real nice, but I got cut with two. I'm using my Bible for a map. The ten come tell us what. The 12 disciples are my road signs. Yes, my Jesus will see you safe. For there be no detours in heaven, no rough road along the way. I'm using my Bible for a roadmap. My last stop is heaven some sweet day. I'm using my Bible for a roadmap. the children of Israel used it too. They crossed the Red Sea of destruction. Yes, my God, just see them safely through. Will there be no detours in heaven? No rough road along the way. I'm using my Bible for a roadmap. My last stop is heaven some sweet day. My last stop is heaven some sweet day.
I can't believe you were mean. No, you try something. I just can't believe the splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice. All the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great. How great is our God. Now age to age he stands, and time is in his hands. Beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great. How great is our God. Name above all names, worthy of all praise, my heart will sing how great is our God. Name above all names, worthy of all praise, my heart will sing how great is our God. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great. How great is our God. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great. How great is our God? How great, how great is our God? When it comes to gospel songs, this is my favorite, because I think it It's how I feel. May not have a lot, but I enjoy what I got, and the Lord has surely blessed me. And I hope you like this.
I never made a fortune. Sometimes it's too late now. Oh, but I don't worry about that much, 'cause I'm happy anyhow. As I go along life's journey, I'm reaping better than I've sown. Drinking from my saucer, Lord, 'cause my cup is overflowing. Ain't got a lot of riches. Sometime the going's rough, but I've got a friend in Jesus, and that makes me rich enough. And I thank God for all His blessings on me, and the mercy He's bestowed. Drinking from my saucer, Lord, 'cause my cup is overflowed. Oh, sure, I've been through some storms. And yes, there were times I know in my faith, well, it got a little thin. But it seemed like all at once, those dark clouds broke, and that old sun started shining again. So Lord, help me not to grumble and complain about the tough roads I've hauled. Drinking from my saucer, Lord, 'cause my cup is overflowed. And if I should go on living, if the way gets steep and rough, I won't ask for other blessings. I'm already blessed enough. And may I never be too busy, oh Lord, to help another bear their load. Drink from my saucer, Lord, 'cause my cup is overflowed. Yes, I'll keep drinking from my saucer, Lord, 'cause my cup is overflowed.
Y'all give him another hand. We just want to thank them for the reminders. And Mark ends on that song a lot of times. He knows it makes me cry, and that messes up my contact, and that messes up my reading the Bible. Amen? That's why the Lord gave me the gift of memorizing things sometimes, because sometimes I can't see. But, you know, I thought about David when he was singing that. David says that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. You've prepared the table before me in the presence of my enemies. You've anointed my head with oil, and I'm drinking from a saucer because my cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let us pray. Kind Father, we thank you for your blessings. Lord, we ask you to forgive us for neglecting the blessings that you pour out on us daily, Lord, because we just miss them because we're not paying attention. Lord, I thank you for the blessing we have together, each person here, Lord. We thank you for them being here today, Lord. Your spirit dwelling in them makes our worship complete today. Lord, the people in the parking lot, the people that listen online after a while, Lord, thank you that we are known by you, called by the name of Jesus, been reconciled to a loving God, made children of God. We're not only been called into your kingdom with a king, but we've been called to heaven to know our Father. Lord God, we just thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we start this morning, Mark and them was singing, "We Don't Have to Worry No More." And John tells us in 1 John chapter 2, the reason that we don't have to worry no more is because this world is passing away. The things of the world, the enticements of the world, the lust of the world is passing away. The things that cause us hurts, aches, pains, the things that we give into that cause us to have to suffer consequences. Hey, guess what? Passing away. And he who does the will of God has eternal life. That's why we don't have to worry no more. Hey, things is only going to get better. This morning, as we look at this, there's a command in this passage in 1 John chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 12 through 17, and we'll go back and I'll explain that a little bit. But 1 John 2:15 says, "Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." That is a command. And when we look at this, it's two separate paragraphs here. So you kind of want to just preach at, hey, y'all don't love the world. Y'all don't do this. Y'all don't do that. But what John does, if we go back and look at chapter 2, verse 12 through 14, and then 15 through 17, we'll see John does some explaining to us before he tells us what to do. Now, my daddy used to do that. He would explain something and explain it real good, then he'd tell me to do it. Now, I could do it or not do it. That was up to me, depending on how I viewed my physical health. Amen? If y'all remember when you used to get spankings. But I can honestly say my daddy never asked me to do nothing. He didn't show me how to do and give me the stuff to do it. And this is what God's Word does for us. God not only tells us what to do and not what to do and what not to do, but he tells us why and helps us understand it. Here's what John tells us this morning. He says, look, we are living in this world in a love-hate relationship. Love-hate relationship. There's a lot of stuff in this world we love. Amen? Now, here's the secret to happiness. Learn to love what God loves and learn to hate what God hates. Well, let me give you this. Now, you say, well, wait a minute. I didn't think God hated. I thought God's all love. God is all love, but Psalm 5, verse 5 says this, "The boastful, the prideful, the arrogant," that's what he's talking about, "the boastful shall not stand before your eyes." The psalmist says, look, those people that's prideful, those people that base their security on their possessions, on their knowledge, on their abilities, they will not stand before your eyes, Lord. Here's why. Because you hate all who do iniquity. What? God hates. Yeah, God hates sin. God hates iniquity. Hey, if we got sin on us, God doesn't like that either. I've said this before. You say, well, that ain't too good to say in the pulpit, brother. You ain't supposed to talk about dog poop. Let me tell you something. God doesn't like sin. It stinks in his nostrils. Hey, if you get poop on your shoe, don't you wipe it off and try to wash it off before you come in your house? Y'all tracking with me? God hates. Now, let me give you something else that God doesn't like. Proverbs 6, verse 16, it says, "There are six things which God hates, yes, seven, which are an abomination to him." Now, this don't mean it's 13. That's a poetic way of saying, look, let me tell you six things that God dislikes. Hey, really, let me just go ahead and tell you. I'll give you seven things. That's what he's saying. So he lists seven things here that God hates. He says, haughty eyes. That's pride of life. He says, a lying tongue. All these are in the Ten Commandments. And hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans. You know, I know people that do this. They'll come up with something, and I have to listen real careful when they're telling me, because I know they're conning me. We're gonna get to it in a minute if I just keep listening. Hey, a lot of people will tell you the truth just as far as it's going to benefit them. So remember that. Wicked plans. Feet that run rapid to evil. You see something, you know you ought not to do it. I've told y'all before, I got one little nephew when he was little, would burn me up. He would be with us, and he'd be wanting to do something, and I'd say, don't do that, Aaron. And he'd put his head down and walk slow like I wasn't seeing him, like he couldn't hear me. I'm like, Aaron, if you go out that door, boy, I ain't your daddy and mama, I'll get you. Now, I'm telling you, that's what he's talking about. Don't we do the same thing? We know we ain't supposed to do something, right? God's done told us it's wrong, and we look around like nobody's looking, and we take off over there. Y'all ever done that? Am I the only one? God don't like that. I'm just telling you. Hey, you know what I'm talking about. You've been going through your TV channels, and you know you ought not to stop there, but you kind of... You got to check it out, right? A false witness. That's one who utters lies or slanders somebody else or tells lies on other people. Why? It comes back to this haughty eyes. Most lies have to do with somebody building himself up or making himself better or getting an advantage over somebody. Now here's one. Then you say, well, look, I'm glad we don't. Aren't y'all glad y'all saved and y'all don't do that stuff? All right? So now... We're going to bring this on up into sanctuary at Hunt Springs. Look at the seventh one. And the one who spreads strife among the brothers. Did you know the devil can't destroy the church? Only believers can destroy it from the inside. God says, I'm building my kingdom. Jesus says, I'm building my church, and the gate of hell will not prevail or enclose it. Nothing can hold it. The church is going to bust out. Only thing that can hurt it is us destroying it from the inside. You say, well, preacher, I know that preaches good. I've heard that before. There's an example in the Bible in Numbers chapter 24. Balaam, and we remember the part about the donkey, right? The donkey was smarter than the prophet. Y'all remember that? He's riding along, and he tries to get out of the way of the angel of the Lord so he doesn't get slayed. But he goes on to talk to the king, Balak. And he tells Balak, look, you want me to curse Israel and bless you, but I can't. Why not? And Balaam says, because God won't let me. God's chose that he's going to bless them. I don't care what you want me to say. He's still going to bless them. Fast forward over a little bit. He says, but here's what you can do. Show them Moabite women. Show them women, them Moabite teenagers. Get them to marry into them and bring their idols. Guess what? You can't destroy them, but you can make them destroy themselves. This is what God doesn't like. Jesus Christ died for our sins so that he could forgive our sins, but also cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Jesus says, I've come, the kingdom of God is at hand. In other words, he's making a kingdom for the king. A king's got to have a kingdom, right? You can't be in God's presence if you're sinful. So Jesus forgives us, brings us into God's kingdom. Now you say, well, preacher, you about belittle this to death. All right, well, let's look. This love-hate relationship. So how do we live on the earth and love the things that God loves more than we love the things that the world advertises to be fun? First of all, children of God, say no. No. Y'all can do better than that. No. No. Grow. And never let go. Now, I want you to remember that all next week, all of 2022. When somebody say, what do Christians do? You say, we know, we grow, and we never let go. Of what? The name of Jesus. Here's what he says. Little children, I'm writing to you. Now, this is probably important. He says three times in the first three verses here, little children, I am writing to you. In the next three times, in the next phrases, he says, I have written to you three times. So six times, he says, look, do you want to know why I've written to you? Do you want to know why the preacher's preaching this today? Hey, do you know that I wrote this to the church and it's just as true in 2022 as it was in 90 A.D.? He says, I'm writing to you Little children, now this little children, it can be talking about the young people in the church, and young men can be talking about those of adolescent age, about time to get married, and you fathers could be speaking to the elders. He's encompassing the church, but more than that, I believe, and a lot of other commentators, he is speaking to our spiritual maturity. So when he says, I am writing to you, little children, that means those who are saved. Look what he says. I am writing to you, little children, this is verse 12, because, here's the reason, your sins have been forgiven you for his name's sake. Now, are you saved this morning? I hope I'm not the only one. Y'all saved? Raise your hand. I'm happy to be saved. If you're saved, you're children of God. Now here's what you do. You know that you are saved. You know you're a child of God. Why? My sins have been forgiven. Well, how have my sins been forgiven? For the sake of the name of Jesus. One time I delivered a car from Huntington Beach, California, that belonged to Reggie Jackson. A 67 Chevy 2 with 500 and some horsepower. Now, and I like cars, right? So this was cool. I delivered it to a little place called Church Point, Louisiana. And down there, when I come in, y'all probably don't know a lot about the moving business, but in big trucks, moving people, we go places we ain't supposed to be in tractor trailers. It's just fact, right? And so I'm going down through there, and if you've seen TV with live oaks and trees and low stuff, you know, went down in Louisiana, and I'm going in there, and I'm trying to dodge around, you know, through these trees, because when I called the man I was living from, he said, don't bring it to my shop, bring it to my house. So I'm getting to his house. Well, I got all these cars in this development or in this town there backed up. So I stopped to get out to see what to do and where I need to drop my boards to get the car off. And these people are blowing the horn and hollering at me. Can you believe anybody get upset with a big truck and fuss because it's in the way? Now, I know y'all don't when UPS just gets out in the middle of the road or FedEx or the Amazon truck. I know y'all don't get upset. Y'all just wait for them to move, right? Anyway, as I'm getting out, Philip was with me, and he's coming around, and he hollers. He says, Wesley, we're in trouble. The police is here. And sure enough, the police was in front of us, and the police was behind us. And so the officer come walking up and says, you know you can't have that truck in here. I said, yes, sir, but I'm making a delivery. And he says, well, I don't care. You can't have your truck in here. You got all this traffic blocked. I said, well, it won't take me but a second. Because soon as I get these ramps off and get the car off, I'll move the truck out of the way, and I'll come back for the paperwork. He says, well, who are you delivering it to? I said, Mike Guitry. He just turned around, walked back there, and told them, turn off your car and wait a minute, or either turn around and y'all leave. You know why? Because when you ride through Church Point, Louisiana, the hardware store belongs to Mike Guitry. The truck shop is the Guitry's. The lumber yard is the Guitry's. Mike Guitry's name means something in Church Point, Louisiana. Guess what? In a world of sin and lostness, the name Jesus Christ means something. Psalm 18:10 says that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are saved. I'll never forget, Darrell Walters' wife used to put Bible verses on Darrell Walters' dash of his car every Sunday. She also put them on another friend of theirs, Dale Earnhardt's car. The day Dale Earnhardt's car ran into the wall at Daytona and he died, taped to his dash said, quote, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. When she told that story about how she had talked to Dale Earnhardt about his salvation and watched him soften over the years, that only gives us hope that he knew the Lord. Here, John says, little children, you know you have been forgiven. Chapter 3 tells us that it means that we are, he's become our Father. Chapter 3, verse 1 says, see how great a love the Father has bestowed on you. You're not just children of a kingdom. You are children of the Father of heaven. He becomes our Father. How does this happen? This is what we need to share with people. In the beginning of chapter 2 here, it says, my little children, I'm writing to you, verse 1, these things to you, so that you may not sin. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Somebody standing between God and us, Jesus Christ. He himself is our propitiation. In other words, he's absorbed the wrath of God that we deserved. He lived the life that we should have lived. He died the death we deserved, and he was raised to what? So that we can be forgiven. And not only ours, but also the sins of the world. Verse 3, by this we know we've come to know him if we keep his commandments. The ones who say, I have come to know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar and the truth's not in him. But ever who keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we're in him. What? That God's word matters to us. Jesus' name matters to us. When was the last time something was going wrong in your life and you just stopped and like Jesus told Peter when Peter was tempting Jesus with the pride of life, he said, no, Jesus, no, I'll go with you even to prison. Hey, I'll go with you even to death. You don't have to die this way. What'd Jesus say? Get behind me, Satan. When was the last time things is going wrong in your life and you say, Satan, get behind me in the name of Jesus Christ? Because that name's got authority. That's the name I've been forgiven by. Did you know that Satan, after we're forgiven, sometimes still tempts us to think the things we've done in the past will keep us out of heaven? He's called the accuser, the slanderer. He's like, no, you know, you can't be forgiven for that. You know you're not good enough. Guess what? Jesus says you are. When we're forgiven, we have an advocate between the Father and us. That's a lawyer. We got somebody pleading our case. God looks and God says, hey, what about him? Jesus says, look at me. My righteousness is his because he asked. My righteousness is hers because she asked. Hey, this is what you need to know. You are a child of God by the grace of God because you've been forgiven by the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And we need to stand up in that today. We lead defeated Christian lives because we don't know what it means to be a child of God. It comes with privileges. Guess what it is? Satan can't get you no more. You're kept. You're saved. You're being saved. You will be saved. Why? By Jesus. Jesus says, no one can snatch you out of my hand because my Father, who has given you to me, is greater than all. In other words, Jesus has got a hold of you, and it's a picture of God's hand on Jesus holding his hand on you. You done been double gripped. He says, look, you need to know, and I got to speed up here. You also need to grow. Look what he says. I am writing to you, young men. These are the people. So the first Christians is when you first get saved, and it goes for us now that we are saved. We need to know how we got saved, why we got saved, and how we're staying saved. It is the name of Jesus. There's no other name given under heaven by which men must be saved but the name of Jesus Christ. Now, you need to know that. But, see, sometimes we get saved as children and we stay children. Peter warns us about this. He said, Paul does too. I mean, you're still drinking milk. Y'all need to be eating some steak and taters. Y'all need to be growing up. This is what he says. When he talks about young men, he's talking about people that start maturing, start getting disciples. They start growing. Here's how you know that you're growing. He says, I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him from the beginning. Then he says, I'm writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. That means to conquer, to overpower, to take control of, to defeat. Who is the one that overpowers? What does this overpower, and how do you overpower? Chapter 5, verse 4 says this, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that's overcome the world, our faith. What? Don't I need a lot of things, a lot of books, a lot of classes? faith in the name of Jesus. And then you start growing. What do? You read, you pray. We'll talk about that in a minute. He goes on to explain these young men. He says, look, you need to start growing. You know God. You know the name of Jesus. You need to grow. You need to grow in more knowledge of what it means to be saved in the name of Jesus. You need to grow more in the love of God. You need to continue to mature. We call it spiritual maturity. You need to grow. My question to you is, are you closer to Jesus this year than you was last year? The Christian life is not one that's all going up, right? The Christian life is one of them lives that you it's like this, right? Up and down, up and down, up and down. It's not all mountaintop experiences. But if it's kind of like the stock market, when you're putting a chart of increase up, hey, it's a lot of up and downs, but if you draw the line through the highs and lows on an average, you're a lot closer to heaven today than you was yesterday and then last year and then when you first get saved. That's what he's saying. Young men, you are growing. You're maturing. You're cowboying up. You're learning about the Lord. And he says, fathers, he says, I'm writing to you because you know him who has been from the beginning. Now, who's this from the beginning? Listen to chapter 1. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, talking about the disciples here, what we've heard, what we've seen with our eyes, what we've looked at, and what we've touched with our hand concerning the word of life. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He's talking about Jesus Christ here. And the life was manifested, and we've seen it and testify and proclaim it to you, the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen, what we've heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write to you. Here's why He wants you to know that you need to know, grow, and never let go of the name of Jesus. He says, so your joy might be made complete. In 1:7, it says, but if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. He says, fathers, you never let go. You're growing. As you grow, you might not be as old as some people in the church, but you might have been saved a long time. You've matured. You know how we know that we're saved? We persevere to the end. Peter says that. Perseverance of the saints is what that's called. Guess what? Once saved, always saved. How do I know I'm saved? I'm still following Jesus. How do I know I'm saved? Oh, I still want to know more about the name of Jesus. There's no other name. When you sing songs, like certain songs just hit your heart. Like that, drinking from a saucer. Or I won't have to worry anymore. Why? Because you're maturing in Christ. I've heard more and more people in the last 2 or 3 years that was older tell me, I'm just ready. As a pastor, I go and try to comfort them. And they like, Pastor, don't worry about me. I'm already ready. Robert Morris, last week, I got to listen to about 6 different preachers I liked last Sunday because we weren't at church. He told the story of preparing for death. And he told a story. His mama had been 1 year since his mama passed away. And he says, I was in the room and my sisters and them had gone out. And I was there. My mama motioned for me to come over and I bent down. She said, son, don't worry about me. Now listen to this. She says, I've been waiting for this all my life. He says, I'm a preacher and couldn't even understand that. And then she looked at me and said, son, remember this. There's nobody in heaven God don't want there. And it's nobody on earth that God don't still want here. He said, when he's ready, I'm ready. You know why she's ready? She knew the one who's been from the beginning. My Aunt Claire 93 years old when I done her funeral, 93 when she told me she wanted me to do her funeral. She's a little older when she passed away. But I opened up her Bible, and in front of the Bible it wrote this: I can never remember not believing in Jesus. And then she wrote, I am confident that I can entrust what he's given me until that day. I said, she preached her own message. You know what she used to tell me? She was surprised that young people don't sit at the table after supper and teach their kids the Bible. She says, I never remember finishing a meal when Daddy, which was actually my great-grandpa, because her parents got killed when she was young, when he didn't open up the Bible, and we studied the Bible together before we did dishes. Fathers, they know Jesus from the beginning, and the same Jesus yesterday is the same Jesus today and the same Jesus tomorrow. He goes on to say, I've written to you, fathers, because you know him who's from the beginning. Verse 14, I've written to you, young people, because you are strong. This means you're strong in the name of Jesus. You're strong because you're dependent on Jesus. He says, and look, and the word of God abides in you. I'm running out of time, so I can't go to all these verses to show you that, hey, this is nothing new. It goes all through the Bible. Jesus says that if me and the Father abide in you, our word will abide in you. They'll know you are my disciples by this, that you love one another. And what? That my word abides in you. The word abides in us. It abides in our mind. Ephesians chapter 6 explains to us that we are strong. Why? Because we've got the armor of God. Because we are strong because of the might of God. But because of the gospel of peace that we put on our feet, because of the breastplate, because of the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, all these things that God gives us to let His Word dwell in us, make us strong. He says, look, here's the third reason that they are growing. The Word abides, and look, you've overcome the evil one. You have defeated him. That means that our faith is stronger in Jesus than our desires for the things of the world are. Does that make sense? Man, that looks good. But my faith in Jesus is stronger. I might not stop myself from going over there, but Jesus can. Have you ever asked Jesus, don't let me do the things I used to do? You know, most of the time we're like, thank you, Lord, I'm not who I used to be. That gets kind of like the Pharisees, right? It should be, Lord, thank you that I'm not doing the things I used to do. Because Paul says that pride goes before the fall. He who thinks he stands falls. Sometimes when we think we're doing it on our own and forget Jesus, guess what? We're not overcomers. Jesus says in chapter 2 and 3 of Revelation to these churches, guess what? You have overcome. Why? Because you love the things God loves and you hate the thing God hates. So this morning, I want you to think about why John is writing this. It is so you will know, grow, and never let go. Say that. Know, grow, never let go. Y'all going to hold on to Jesus till he comes back? Well, my job's almost done here, but I got to give you a warning. Because it's easy to do that in church, but we fix to go out them back doors in just about another hour. And no, but when you get out the doors, things change. Here's what he says in verse 15. Do not love. This is a command. That means don't do it. Do not love the world nor the things of the world. In other words, he says here, if you do, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Look what he says. God's children love his will and his word, what God wants us to do, God's plan for us, and the Word of God that tells us how to live with God. He loves that. And you can't even see the other part because it is so small. But it says more than the enticements of the world. I don't know if y'all get advertisements on your TV, on your phone, on Facebook, in the mail. I get things in the mail that I don't even think they know who I am. The world advertises its goods to us. John says, don't love them things more then you love God's will and His Word. How do I know if I need it? Well, what's God's Word say about it? Here's a good question. Will it become an idol? What's an idol? Idol separates you from God, your family, and your money. He says, do not love the things of the world. Well, preacher, what are the things of the world? I am going to try to get done less than an hour. What are the things of the world? He says, for all that is in the world, verse 16, he names three things, and we've talked about them before. It's three categories of sin. But that's what the world offers. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. These are not from the Father, but from the world. So when he says this, think about what happened. Adam and Eve had everything imaginable, right? They had the peace of God, the love of God, all of creation. They had dominion over everything. This is how easy it is to be enticed by the world. They had dominion over everything that lived, breathed, grew, and crawled, and swam. Except the fruit of the tree of good and evil. The knowledge of good and evil. God says, do not eat from it. What did Satan tempt them with? The fruit of the tree. Did God not say? Did God really say that? And it says here, listen what happened. When the woman saw the tree was good for food, lust of the eyes, she saw it. It was what? Good for food. It was a delight to the eyes. In other words, lust of the flesh. That's good. Oh, it looks good. Better taste it. I told somebody the other day, I got a weakness for potato chips. I'm confident you can't eat just one. I've tried it. I believe if I throwed them in the trash can, I'd probably go back and get the bag out. You know what I mean? Sin is a lot like eating a bag of potato chips. You can't just eat one. When you eat one, you want another. And I said this, if sin was a potato chip, the devil would be driving the Frito-Lay truck. Look over here, Wes. Look what we got. I don't want none of that. Oh, well, look over here. Here's something else we might tempt you with. Hey, the word here is cosmos. Out of 183 times in the Bible, John, he uses this 103 times. And it means, what it means, it is a secular system organized by and under the influence of Satan to go against God's will and His Word. When it talks about the world. A secular system estranged from God. He says, look, don't be enticed by these things. Look what happened to Eve. It said that she saw the tree was desirable to make one wise. That's the pride of life. It'll make me like God. I'll know everything. It says she took from it and she eat. And then it says, and she gave it to Adam. Adam ain't off the hook either. What happened? Eve says, eat some of this, Donnie. Donnie goes, God, Eve. God, Eve. Hey, he went with Eve. You know where that got him? Working in the garden with a rototiller. Everything become hard. By the sweat of the brow, he got his food that God was giving him. Thistles grew up. It means in the world, anytime something looks good, guess what? There's going to be some weeds coming up in it. Now, by nature, friends, I hate to tell you this, some people think we're sinners because we sin. But here's the truth. You sin because you're a sinner. Once Adam and Eve sinned, the first mother and father of all humanity, we all inherited something. It wasn't blue eyes. It wasn't brown hair. It wasn't my shortness. It was a sin nature. That's why Jesus Christ had to be born. When Jesus reached 30 years old, he was baptized. Heavens opened and God spoke and said, "This is my son with whom I'm well pleased." He went out into the desert for 40 days being tempted by the devil. And the devil said, "If you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread." It's Matthew chapter 4. Also in Luke, Jesus says, "Man might not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out the mouth of God." He's going all the way back to the 40 years of the Exodus. When the children of Israel received manna from heaven, the bread of God from heaven to take care of them. And God told them how to use it, and they couldn't do it. They done it their way. Why? Eyes. Look at that. That looks good. We better get some for tomorrow. God told them not to get no more than you need for the day, except for on Friday, and get enough for the Sabbath so you can rest. If you get more than you can use, it will go bad. Did they believe God? No. They said, look, Super Walmart, everything's on sale. And they gathered it all up. It went bad. Jesus says, hey, it's not enough that you enjoy God's blessings. You use God's blessings the way God tells you to use them. See, when I say Jesus come to this earth and lived the life we should have, that's exactly what he did. He didn't let the lust of the flesh take over. He loved God's will and God's word more than he loved the enticements of Satan's world, Satan's cosmos. Then Satan took him up on the mountaintop and showed him all the kingdoms of the earth. Lust of the eyes. Look, Jesus, you bow down and worship me and you can have all this. Jesus says, you must not tempt God, but worship the Lord your God and worship him only. Then Satan took him on the pinnacle of the temple and told him to throw himself down. And he misquotes scripture there saying, hey, if you're the Son of God, you throw yourself down, the angels will bear you up. You'll not stump your foot on a stone. In other words, then you don't have to go to the cross. Everybody will see that you are life eternal. You didn't die. They'll be amazed and they'll come running to you. And Jesus says, you must not tempt God. That was the pride of life. Jesus could have said, I don't need you, Father. I'll do it myself. Instead, what did he say? If it is, may this cup pass from me, but not my will, but your will. Jesus has already lived the life that he's calling us to live. He's just calling us as children of God to love God's word and God's will more than we love the things of this world, which are the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. As we look at this morning, I'll close with this. He says in verse 17, the world is passing away and also its lust, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. Why should I love God's will, ways, and word more than the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life? Because guess what? The things of the world that doesn't agree with God's word will not be in heaven. Have you ever thought about that? When we think about sickness, death, lying, cheating, greed, coveting what other people's got, slander, when we think about all these things, God hates them. Guess what makes heaven heaven? All that stuff's not there. Hey, nothing God hates is in heaven. That's what makes it heaven. Peter says it this way. The elements are going to be melted away. I don't quite understand. Now, Brother James is going to teach y'all what happens when the new heaven and earth comes. I don't quite understand it, but what I know is when you set something on fire and put heat to it, like gold or something like that, you burn out all the imperfections. There's nothing left but the goodness, but the ore, but what you need. That's what's going to happen. In the end, John tells these Christians, and he even says in the next verse, that there's Antichrist coming. There's little Antichrist here now. There are devil's agents advertising things that you will like, but you need to resist them. Don't love them. Why? These things are passing away. They're not going to last. Have you ever seen something that you really, 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 really had to have, and you get it, and truthfully, in just 48 payments, it's going to be yours. And after 12 payments, you got to put a new transmission in it. I'll give you a good one. Chippewa boots. I'm kind of one of these, you know, I like the things that's been around a while. That boot company's been around a long time, and you can buy Chippewa boots direct there in Nashville where we live. So being the good shopper I am, I bought me a pair of Chippewa boots. But that wasn't enough, right? Because I didn't know if I was going to get to go back to Tennessee to that store. So I bought me two pair. When I wear these pair out, I'll have another pair, right? Chippewa. Well, I wore out my first pair. So one morning I was thinking I might as well throw these out. They wore out. They looked bad. I got my brand new Chippewa boots out and put them on, and I was looking good. Had them all laced up. I got to work, and I was walking back to my truck to get the skill saw. And if you ever been walking, think somebody's following you. You know, you hear somebody behind you going, dunk, 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 dunk. Well, I looked back and there was nobody behind me. I said, what is that? Dunk, dunk, dunk. Guess what? My whole soul called me off my Chippewa. Chippewa had been around a long time, but guess what? The glue don't last. The glue that they glued on the rubber soles, it won't there no more. I don't know if it soaked in the leather. I don't know where it went. So I had brand new boots with no soles on them. Had to throw them away. My point is this. The things that we think will last in this earth will not. But the word of God will never pass away. Let us pray. Kind Father, we come before you today, Lord, and I pray if we don't remember anything else, we remember the privilege we have to know the name of Jesus. That, Lord, it is by your grace, your mercy, and the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, the living word that you give us, that we are able to grow in the knowledge of your love. We're able to learn to love being loved by you. Lord, that we can not only know and grow, but, Lord, your word penetrates so deep in our heart that it separates, as Donnie was talking about, from the spirit and from the soul and from the body. And Lord, your word penetrates so deep that we understand your will with the Holy Spirit groaning in us with words too deep because he knows the spirit. And Lord, he knows the mind of God. And you work in us so that we never let go of that name of Jesus. That no matter how much the world offers us, that, Lord, when we weigh it on the scale, we know that your will and your word outweighs all the things of this old world. This morning, if you're here and you've never committed your life to Jesus Christ, you don't really know this forgiveness, you don't really know this peace, you don't really know what it's like to be a child of God, it's this simple. You just say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I want to be a child of God. I'm asking you to forgive me. Make me a child of God, and Lord, help me live the rest of my life pleasing to you. If you're here and you've been a Christian a long time, I want to ask you this. Do you remember what it was like when you first come to know the name of Jesus? When you first come to realize that I'm forgiven. I've got a new life. There's been a weight lifted off of me. Do you remember that? Are you growing in that? Do you know Jesus better today than yesterday? Is it easier now to discern what God wants you to do when the lust of the world is all around you? And a lot of us have been Christians a long time. I want to ask you this. Are you holding on to Jesus just as tight as you was the day you got saved? Or are you holding on tighter? Say, Lord Jesus, I want to know grow and never let go. Thank you for my salvation. And I'll depend on Jesus every day so that I'll know your word and will outweigh the things of this earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I remember when I was in school before iPads and laptops and computers and all this. I don't know. Some of y'all might remember this. Some of y'all look old enough. Brian probably don't. They used to have posters. Y'all remember that? And you go to the mall, they used to have poster stores. You could buy everything from Farrah Fawcett to Kiss, right? Well, we was in there one time, and I had never been much on rock and roll. I was with some friends. They was probably getting rock and roll posters. And I'll never forget this. I saw this poster, and I've always thought about this since I got saved. It was a picture, and it says, when you get to the end of your rope, tie a knot and hold on. And it had a picture of a rope and a knot and a little cat with a death grip on it with both hands, a little kitten. And when I got saved, for some reason that poster popped in my mind, and I was like, Lord, never just keep me and never let me let go. And that's what Jesus says. You need to know and grow, but never let go. Jesus is the only thing that's going to last when everything else fails you.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to feel, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear. The I first believed. My chains are gone, I have been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like the flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promise good to me. His word, my hope secure. He will my shield and portion be, as long as life endures. My chains are gone, set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like the flood, His mercy rains. Unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone. Been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains. Unending amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine. But God, who called me here below, will be forever mine. Will be forever mine. You are forever mine.
Is Jesus forever yours?
Amen.
Verse 17 says, the world is passing away and also its lust, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. Isn't that a great promise?
Amen.
Y'all give Mark and Donnie a big hand.
Thank you. Jesus.
Thank you.
I love the piano, the organ, horns, and all that, but I always think about the Psalms when it's talking about singing to the Lord with stringed instruments. And I just love him being here and bringing the guitars. And thank y'all so much. And thank y'all for always being on call, spur of the moment. We thank y'all for that. I thank y'all for being here. And don't forget, next Sunday after church, choir practice, and y'all practice the last Sunday of this month. Y'all will be singing, and we're going to kind of do the same format. Y'all will sing some songs, and we'll join in probably on one of them, or we'll close with a song, and we'll all sing together on that one if the COVID lets us stand up. Amen? Amen. Anything on your hearts before we depart? Remember Mike tomorrow. I'm praying that the stuff in that CAT scan, the doctors just know through God's guidance what's the best thing to do there. So pray for that, and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Kind Father, we come before you this morning and just thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you that we had church. Thank you that we could come to church. Lord, again, I just asked last week, just Lord, we probably could have come. And I know some people come that didn't get the message that we'd canceled. Lord, we tried to err on the side of caution. And Lord, that might have just been Satan tempting us with the things of this world to stay inside where it's warm. But thank you, everyone was safe, and thank you that we come back together now. And Lord, I pray that you just guide, direct us in 2022 here personally. Each one of us, Lord, would just pursue personal holiness to be more pure as Christ is pure, Lord. And Lord, look for the plans that you have for us. And as we come together, the plans you have for us as a church, that, Lord, we could start reaching out to these and doing some discipleship to these who are getting saved and the ones we're witnessing to, and also to those who have been saved, that Lord, we'd work with the children, with the youth, with the seniors or the seasoned adults here, Lord, and that, Lord, that you would just put some things in place that would make this church a light on the hill, shining in the darkness of Lee County and in the darkness of all the places where you send us out as we leave here. Today as we leave here, Lord, let us remember to tell somebody that the secret to lasting happiness is to know, grow, and never let go of the name of Jesus. In Jesus' holy and precious name we pray, through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, to our Heavenly Father. Amen. 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 Thank y'all for coming. And like I said, the buckets, the front and rear for offerings. Thank y'all for your offerings, and we appreciate that a whole lot. I did put it on the screen, didn't mention it. We went ahead and had to fix the roof on the front. We fixed the back last year, and we got that fixed. It was $2,000, best price we could probably get. We couldn't really find anybody that wanted to work. There's so much work going on, and nobody really wanted to work on a commercial building or a church. They wanted to do new work, but the company that done the other one come back, Norado, and they did it for us. Also, we filled up the gas tanks. I tried to estimate so it wouldn't be much more than $1,200. The Lord blessed us. It didn't hold quite as much as I thought they would. That gas ought to carry us through the winter. Both tanks are full now. Emmaus is going to help and take up a special offering for the roof and for the gas also. So we're going to try to do the same, because we missed a couple of weeks here of offerings. And as you know, we got a big campus. But the Lord's taking care of us through all of this COVID and all the shutdowns, and he'll keep taking care of us. But because we don't have a lot of business meetings, I just wanted to keep you up to date to where we at on the roof and the gas. And it is warm in here today, right? So the gas is working. Amen. 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 Thank y'all, and have a blessed week.
Thank you.